The Ticket. Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub, and Michigan basketball's first, men's basketball's first quad one win of the season. Now, I'll take it.
For now.
I understand. That's why I said I'll take
it. No, they're going to get more is what I'm saying. They're going to earn more. I'm confident. Okay. They're going to earn more.
I thought you were saying Northwestern wasn't going
to
be.
Oh, no. And maybe Pittsburgh will actually win enough to creep back or creep into the quad one, which is possible, too.
Yeah. An effort on both ends of the floor that, you know, if they can, said this after the Purdue game, even though they lost that contest, but you know, the kind of energy, the attention and to detail, the sequence that really stands out to me is coming out of the break. They were a menace to Chase Audige, who still finished horrible from the field. I think he was 0-for-9 in the first half.
Sam, he scored the first point of the game. You realize that? And then he didn't score for like a long time.
And then he started out the next half really well as well. I think he had like a, you know, mid-range jumper. He had a steal, led to a quick bucket on the other end. And they have a little momentum coming out of the break. Michigan responded, and they go on a run. And, you know, there was a sequence in that contest where every made bucket had been assisted. I mean, terrific ball and player movement. One sequence really stands out to me. Kobe Bufkin, who had a great game, a complete floor game last night. I think he hit a three early in the game. You could tell he was feeling it. A really efficient game, but the way he saw the floor, there was a screen and roll sequence, two man game where coming off the screen, I think it was Dougie passed it to, Kobe. But the two-man game was Dougie and Hunter. So Hunter's rolling to the basket. As Dougie comes off the screen, he passes to Kobe, and Kobe hits the roller. I mean, he didn't hold the ball very quickly. It's almost like how you could tell a player is anticipating. He is reading the floor. He is seeing the play before it happens. The ball comes to him, and almost immediately he hits Hunter. Roll into the basket for an easy bucket. And it was like that all night long for Kobe Bufkin. You see that from him and you're like, that's Kobe. He can do that. 15 points, 12 rebounds, all over the glass, some good defense, 8 assists. You know, Boo Booey is not going to shoot like that. Boo Booey was a 28% 3-point shooter coming into the game. And he hit a few threes early. He had that was the behind-the-back pass to him where he was wide open. He canned a three. He's not typically going to do that. Outside of 3-for-6 from three-point range, you know, they did a good job on Boo Booey. Did a good job on that team all around defensively. You remember Robbie Berman was such a factor in the first game? He was null and void in this game. Did Robbie Berman even play, Ira? Yeah, he played. I'm saying I'm being facetious, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, this response, I'm not going to make too much of it other than to say that's how you got to play. You know, can they stack efforts like that? That's the thing. Can you take what you just did on the road against I think Northwestern is a good team. I mean, they are obviously having a little bit of an issue right now, but I think that's a good team. I think it's a well-coached team. I think it's a physical team. I think when you talk about their backcourt, they put pressure on you on both ends of the floor. It's why when you look at Chase Audige in this game, in both games for that matter, I mean, you tell your guys, see, you know, it is possible. That's a good ball player over there that you may look regular in. For the most part, you know, Boo Booey is a really tough customer when it comes to keeping him from, you know, getting his head going towards the basket. you did a fairly decent job of that. You know, he shot just under 50% from the field. But again, he shot uncharacteristically from distance. So I'll take that. And you held them as a team to under 40% from the field. Take it. But I like what you got from some of the other guys. First of all, this game, when people look at it, if you just stat watching, you look at the game, you say, oh, Doug McDaniel didn't have a good game. Doug McDaniel had a good game.
Yeah, he didn't have a good shooting game, but he had a really good game. I mean, Sam, you have 9 assists and no turnovers. Like, that's a starting point right there. But, Sam, the stat last night is, I don't have it in front of me, is it like 24 made baskets, 21 assists, and he had 9 of them. And obviously Kobe had 8 because he was 2 assists away from triple-double. But, yeah, the floor general game, if you will, from Dougie was terrific last night.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Yeah, like you said, 17 assists and 1 turnover between them. They were seeing the floor, and their teammates were getting open, were moving. I mean, same thing. They seem to be getting into a more comfortable space playing offense off of double teams. Now, you know, they did a great job. I thought Seth Greenberg did a great job pointing this out. You know, posting Hunter at the top, it was harder for doubles to get him as opposed to, you know, getting it to him on the wings or in a position where it was easier for the double teams to reach him. And when he did post up in those areas, getting into his move quicker, you see teammates understanding when Hunter is double teamed, I have got to move. I have got to move to the open spot. I've got to move to his line of sight. I've got to cut to the basket in some instances. I have got to move when Hunter is double teamed. Because, man, that could be great off, especially with someone as adept at passing as Hunter is. That could be really good offense. And so, you know, it was, they got to a point in this game where, you know, I thought Michigan very effectively got him in some situations where it was one-on-one basketball. I don't know if that was an adjustment or strictly because of where they posted him. Sometimes or a combination of the two. But, you know, Hunter had a good game last night. You know, he's got their guys. You know, I thought Matt Nicholson was putting a blender a couple times out there. Again, they're post offense out of the double team I thought was really good, but this game was about their backcourt. It was about Kobe Bufkin on a night where Jet scores single digits. I mean, I saw Jet shoot a 3 and it bounced off the backboard. Like, you don't see that. This wasn't a Jet shooting night, but you saw the other guys. I got to talk about Joey Baker. How about Joey Baker's game?
A lot of clutch buckets, Sam. Baker,
how about Joey Baker with a shot fake, finishing with his left hand at the rim? How about that? Of course, we're going to talk about the 3 that he was fouled, and he like he shot it to the moon, and it came down, and it was a 4-point play. But that, you know, if Joey Baker can hit his open threes, because he's had some open threes lately that didn't go down, but last night he was feeling it. Very efficient. It was, you know, you like what you got from the other guy. Hey, Ira, how about this? How about Terrace Reed, 2 for 2 for the free throw line? Now, no, wait. I know what you're going to say. As long as it goes in.
I don't care how it goes in. If that if the number in the first if the first number dash and matches the second number at the free throw line for Terry Sheree, that is a win. Actually, Sam, I think if the first number is just one below the second number at for Terry Sheree, the free throw line, that's a win. So
I don't mean to laugh, but man, when he went off the backboard, I was like, oh.
Well, Sam, you could leave it the opposite direction, super short, and then you airball it. So which one's effective?
When it went off the backboard, I was like, oh, my God, he's going to miss this next one horribly. because you know, everybody's like.
The overcorrection. Yeah, you overcorrect.
Right, but he did. He did. He sank the next one, so I was happy for T that he was able to do that, man. Hey, it was 4 minutes of yo-yo, but Ira, that kind of tenacity. I mean, he and Will Cheddar, they look like they're going to be those guys. They look like they're going to be those guys. I mean, I know Will Cheddar wasn't in there last night, but that junkyard dog mentality, that element, that energy that you want to see, especially on the defensive end. Yeah, did he foul? I can't remember who it was he fouled where he dived on, he dove on the floor. And the guy who he fouled is kind of like laughing at him. Like, what is it with this dude? Hey, man, he was playing some tough defense. And at the time he was on the floor, he said, I'm going to be a menace, especially when I haven't been out here in some time. I'm going to at least bring some energy. And he did that. And I just felt like that was indicative of what we saw up and down the lineup last night in a game after one where we saw it hardly at all. And, you know, I commend Phil for coming on and talking about it. You know, he doesn't sugarcoat. We talk about the good. We talk about the bad. There's been a lot of bad, and he hasn't shied away from it. And he said, hey, we slogged through that Penn State game. It definitely carried over, and you know, you can see it Saturday, and it definitely came over on Sunday too. They came out here on the road, and there was no evidence of that. There was no evidence of the disappointment. There was no evidence of them, you know, kind of looking at the standings, looking at the resume, and saying, oh, what are we doing this for? Now, why are we even out here? Nah, these dudes, they played a one-game season last night. Let's do that again, right? That's where we are now. I mentioned Penn State as the most winnable road game. They didn't get it done. They came out and got the next one. And so now can you find some semblance of consistency? Some semblance of it for the first time, maybe all season. Can you string together back-to-back really strong efforts? Back-to-back. I mean, have they had this season back-to-back just like, man, they play really, really well in back-to-back games? I don't think you can find a sequence in this season where you can say that. I mean, maybe the span where they had the close losses to Virginia, Kentucky, and then they beat Minnesota. Maybe that span, but two of those were losses. Did they play well enough to win? You can say they did. But this Ohio State team, Ira, this is a game that at one point in the season, it looked like, I don't know, this is just going to be a game, even at home, that Michigan is going to be an underdog in. And now,
Sam, have you seen what they've done since New Year's Day? Ohio State's been dreadful since New Year's Day. Now, Sam, I would argue that maybe the Maryland on New Year's Day and the Penn State game 3 days later on the 4th when Michigan won those home games back-to-back, probably their best back-to-back performances of the season, those two games. They blew the doors off of Maryland, and they played pretty well against a solid Penn State team that they beat by 10 the next game. Ohio State has turned into – they went from a good basketball team, or what we thought was a good basketball team, and when they lost, or then when they beat Northwestern on New Year's Day, Sam, they were probably in pretty good position. I'd have to go back and look what the ranking was, but they were probably in pretty good position on New Year's Day after that win. All they've done since then is go loss, 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 straight. Win, loss, loss, loss. Was that 8 of 9 since New Year's Day that they've lost?
1-8.
Tailspin.
Don't let them get healthy on you. So, like I said, at one point in the season, it looked like this was a game that you were going to struggle to be, you know, to have anyone say you're favored to win this game. Michigan's going to be favored to win this game. Don't let a team come in and get healthy on you. A team that is desperate right now. They're flailing. You thought Michigan had been having some struggles. This team, they aren't even an NIT team right now. Right? And I know you said that about Michigan.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
You know, maybe Michigan is now.
Well, Sammy, here's the way this is the way to look at it. So the Big Ten we thought was in three categories, right? Purdue is at the top. They're 11-1. They have a three-game lead on everybody. They're separated from everybody. You look all the way at the bottom and you go, Minnesota, they're 1-10. You figure that they were separated from everybody else because they were so much further below everybody else. But Nebraska at 3-9 and Ohio State at 3-8 are on the cusp of joining Minnesota permanently in that bottom category. And you, as Michigan at 6-5, in a cluster of a tie where you're actually tied, you're in a tie for the fourth spot in the Big Ten right now. That's the situation you're in. And you can give Ohio State their ninth loss of Big Ten play and their ninth loss of, like, the calendar year. Or it's insane how bad they've been since January 1st after that win over Northwestern. You're absolutely right. Because Ohio State and Nebraska are very close to being in that conversation with Minnesota where you're going to lock them into the Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament, right? Purdue's locked into like the top. Minnesota's locked at the bottom. Everybody else we said was clustered in the middle. But now we're starting to see that that middle might be losing a team or two, and Nebraska looks like maybe the first team to fall out. But Ohio State could be the next team to fall out of that middle pack and fall into the bottom. And that's not what you would expect from a Chris Holtmann basketball team. He usually has his teams playing better than this. I haven't watched enough to know what's actually wrong with them. I just know they're playing. I mean, getting blown off the floor at Indiana is it's the best game Indiana's played in a while. But losing at Nebraska, losing at home to Minnesota, like, I can't pinpoint what's wrong with this team. I just know that they're in worse shape than Michigan is kind of to your point.
Yeah, being led by a really talented freshman in Bryce Insabaugh. But he can't do it himself. You know, I think they expected more from Zed Key this year, who's having a decent season. I think he missed the Maryland game that they lost.
He did miss a few games in there, but that's not all of them.
No. And, you know, you like, if you're Hunter Dickinson, you're salivating at this matchup. You should have your way with Zed Key. But just not enough consistency outside of Sensabaugh from the outside looking in, which is scary to say. I mean, that's a recipe for a team to not be what you expect them to be when a freshman, albeit a very talented one, is your most consistent guy. Again, so this team is desperate. They're desperate. They're flailing. They can't find any semblance of offensive consistency. Don't let them come in and find it on you. A team that's been challenged defensively all year, but you went out, you had a solid effort, you just held Northwestern under 40%. Let's stack games. This is not a team, to me, that you look at the matchups and say this should be Ole to the basket. You know, I don't look at them as an exceptionally quick team. So, hopefully, I'm not taking for granted. I'm not going into this game saying, oh, Michigan has this one. They got it. I got to see them stack back-to-back games before I'm ready to predict that they're going to do it. So, next step. This is the very next step. Ohio State. Let's see you play like you just played against Northwestern.
Sam, they've literally stacked back-to-back games together once this year in Big Ten play. Time to do it a second time.
Yep. All right, we got to get to a break. Before we do, listen, folks, Don't you always hear me say, get on board with Brighton Ford, that John Cuter and his crew, that they will always, always take great care of you with the deals that can't be beat. 8240 West Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. You can find them online at Brighton Ford. You can give them a call at 1-800-NEW-FORD. And here's the deal. My friends over at Brighton Ford right now want you to know, if you have a lease coming up in the next 6 months, now is time to visit my friends at Brighton Ford. Get the options you want. Contact them today at 1-800-NEW-FORD. They take the hassle out of the entire buying process. You can do the entire deal online when you choose Calculate Digital Deal, either schedule delivery or choose 45 and drive. They get you in and out of the dealership in under 45 minutes. Again, shop 1-800-NEW-FORD and get on board with Brighton Ford. We got to get to a break. Back on the other side with the recruiting roundup, we hear about timeline from the father of Michigan's top target, Jaden Davis, who was our guest on the latest edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider. Stay tuned for that here on Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.